Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March the 27th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 2nd, Estelle Fennell. Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Brian.
Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Gosh, I don't know. There was one I heard a couple of weeks ago, and
Did you get it?
Oh, I wish I would have had that one.
Had that one? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got three. I'll even give you your choice.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Dope, Domino's, Dogwood. I could argue any of those three make sense for you or not.
Dope, I know. Dope. Domino's. Oh, jeez. I don't know. Dogwood. No, I can't.
All right, let's go with dope. Why is a simpleton called a dope?
Oh, well, now you should have told me.
Yeah, see,
question.
See.
Okay. Why is a simpleton called a dope?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Because he generally acts as though he were drugged.
Oh.
When opium is heated, it flows sluggishly, and a dope comes from dupe, the French word for a thick liquid.
Okay.
See?
That's a good one. Thank you.
Your mind just kind of goes off on its own little...
Well, anytime, you know, if you give me something that might have something to do with a Latin root, I can take
You might have a shot at it. Yeah, okay.
But something like that, I don't know.
Well, you said root, so let's start with that whole marijuana thing that you guys did. Was it a week and a half ago?
Yep.
Why don't you, in a nutshell, explain the what you did, not the why you did it.
Right, okay. So the what was the trellis project, Project Trellis. And so it's basically meant to support the cannabis industry. And it's three-pronged. It's so there's a micro grant loan part of it, there's the branding and marketing part of it, and there's a local equity program. And so the micro grant loan project would be funded at least in part by the excise tax. The marketing would also get funding from that area, I believe, and that is part of the county's support, if you will, of the cannabis industry to make it into a brand. And then the local equity program is tied to a state granting system, which came out as a result of Proposition 64. And we have to make the argument that we were, in fact, affected as a community by the criminalization of marijuana. And I think that Humboldt
criminalization
County,
or legalization?
The criminalization. So
I think we were more impacted by the legalization than the criminalization.
It's definitely more obvious, if you will, but when you think back on the impact on the community, on the children, etc., you can make that argument.
Bring in the cultural costs.
Right. And so I believe that the foundation for the equity program had a lot more to do actually with racial, in that it came originally, I think, from Alameda, San Francisco area, where the argument was that people of color were disproportionately incarcerated for cannabis issues, for marijuana issues. But we are making the argument that our community has been impacted for a long time by that. And I think
we are
really
racially
good.
Blind,
there's,
so that doesn't play that, here.
Yeah, right. Well, there's that, and there's, but the main thing is like if you think back on some of the things that I covered, certainly as a news director at Redwood Community Radio, there were murders that happened that were covered up because people were afraid, since they were growing marijuana, to talk to the police.
People disappeared.
Yeah, there were lots and lots
for
of those kinds
reasons,
of things.
Yeah.
And we have kids that were brought up with what's known as adverse childhood experiences. So there's a lot there to say that.
I read a story over the weekend. It was talking about those that use marijuana daily.
Oh, heavy.
I didn't say to what extent, didn't say what the THC, you know, all that kind of detail stuff, but paranoia.
Yes.
Five to ten times more rampant and to a greater extent.
Yeah.
So not coming as a particular shocker for
if you remember
many
the
of us on
Chong movies.
Yeah. I refused to watch them. I found that they were stupid.
Help.
And this was like as a 12-year-old. Had no Mel Brooks. I got That was humorous for me. Drug stuff, as I'm seeing what's going on in the area, has never been funny. We were at, Jimmy Buffett is one of the guys that I really enjoy. We were down at Shoreline. Anybody from Humboldt? First words, marijuana. It's like, really?
Yeah.
It kind of took some of the fun out of it. Instead of thinking redwood trees or pretty or coast or anything. No, it had to be about pot. And it's like, we're so much more.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of that frustration. It's just this promulgation of this same
mindset. I know it's frustrating, Brian, but in the long run, I think it's going in the positive direction because it is no doubt, even though in the minds of some of the people involved in the industry, it's the be-all and the end-all. It is not. It is just a part of the Humboldt economy. It can be folded into tourism. We're going to see a little bit of that. We're going to see just a cleaning up of the environment that with the regulated grows.
And hopefully the streets will be a little bit cleaner also.
Everything.
Yeah, and I think we all get that maybe in 5 or 10 years. It's the pain and the suffering to get there, and how much lower do we go?
Generators, turn them into solar.
Oh, that's nice, but that I wouldn't think would qualify for somebody that got. Well, I don't know. No need for me to focus on that stuff.
Yeah, that's your job. But I do just want to say, you know, there's regulatory compliance as part of it. More, Humboldt-owned businesses, individual businesses, co-ops, associations, etc. And then the marketing and branding program would be basically issuing an RFB for that program and coming back with some plans for how we could help. But mainly, I think we would have the stamp that was used in the track and trace program. We would use a stamp that said made in Humboldt kind of thing, hopefully to add value to the product.
It's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle and Project Trellis. When you were talking about microgrants, depending on who you talk to, microgrants are defined differently. So when there is a microgrant for the marijuana growing community, what is that, $10,000, $20,000, $100,000? How much of that money that was going for the code enforcement is being diverted into this?
None. No. The code enforcement still separate, its own separate
entity. So where's this money sourced?
Measure S, the excise tax that's paid by the permitted growers.
So it's kind of like what the Lodging Association does to itself.
Yeah. And it's only a percentage, a minimum of 10%.
So that was baked into the, not legislation, but the language?
It was meant for county services, etc. It's pretty wide ranging, a Measure S. In fact, we'll be talking about that. We did talk about that. Sorry about that. We'll be talking about it into the future in terms of what's the foundation of Measure S.
So, but is there some limitation on that now?
Oh, there will. Well, at this point, it's just being put together. But some of the guidelines for eligibility were to be for Humboldt-owned businesses only.
But still in the marijuana industry.
Yes,
You're not going to see Pabstine knocking on the door.
Well, there's a lot of there are a lot of ancillary aspects to it. So there are lots of businesses that interface with the cannabis.
Sure, like the plumbing guys.
All sorts of stuff.
That stuff, they could then argue that they were part of this?
Yeah, well, I don't know about the plumbing guys, but I would just say, you know,
selling the PVC.
I know that we are getting a lot of input from solar providers saying we need to make those greenhouse grows that are outside the cities that are operating on.
It's interesting for me, and I the branding is the thing that I kind of get excited about because it's going to. If successful, it continues and exacerbates the issue that I have. I guess revulsion might be the strongest, the proper term. If it works. If it doesn't work, same thought. Because then we're wasting money. So it's, you know, I guess I would be more excited just as a community member if there were monies available for Humboldt branding of all sorts, and it didn't have to be one or the other. It could be textiles, it could be woodcraft, it could be food, it could be a variety of the beers, the wines, on and on.
That could wind up eventually, I would think, somewhere along the line, the county would see the benefit of that. You know, one of my main reasons for liking the group that came in here and did the track and trace for so long, and now we're going over with them to include them into the branding part, is that SICPA, that group had a program in the north part of Italy, in Val d'Aosta, and every product that was produced in that area had a stamp.
Alaska does it.
Olive oil,
you've seen the little polar bear, right?
Yeah.
The Alaska polar bear?
That's it.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's it. And it qualifies as long as it was, I think it was manufactured or created in the state of Alaska.
Yeah.
And it just is an automatic, and either you do or you don't, and it's pretty black and white.
And it was a huge thing. I mean, and especially with, I mean, whether you like it or not, Brian, the fact of the matter is we all have learned that Humboldt, as you said, you can go anywhere and the cannabis is associated with it. So the brand is there. Take advantage of it. Make it into something positive. And that was the case in Val d'Aosta. So they had really good truffles. They had really good cheese, really good olive oil, etc. And people were saying it was coming from Val d'Aosta when it wasn't. There were knockoffs. So this assured people that it was actually from that area.
Well, and that's why if it's a broad enough one, so it's across sectors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's a very good way to move, and I would hope that that's eventually where we go. As far as these microloans and branding right now, it's specifically aimed at that industry just to get it off and running. I don't know how long it would go at all. It's just to get it off and running and established, and the marketing is one side of it. The branding is another.
How about transportation?
Transportation.
I mean, you know, that hasn't been worked out yet either. So, is this that proverbial cart before the horse? Worrying about this stuff. Well, if you can't transport it through certain counties in the state, wouldn't that have to be kind of cleaned up
actually,
also?
That has been cleaned up.
Okay,
and I know
so there's some
the
progress
are,
in these other areas.
They're not very happy about it, but it is true. It can be distributed in any county in the state, and there are counties that have put in ordinance against it, but it still has to happen because it's statewide.
So things are wrinkles are still being ironed out then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Well, I know
talk to me about it.
You still
it's
got the financing part.
Yeah.
Is Huffman doing anything about that?
Supposedly, yeah, that there's more and more. There's actually bipartisan support for it in Washington right now.
It seems to have been, I don't want to say normal.
Yeah.
It just buys into the acronym, but let's say it's less than what it was before, less emotionally driven.
Yeah.
And a little bit more practical, I guess.
I think practicality is
Yeah. Treat it the same as tobacco, and I guess everybody wins, huh?
Yeah.
KINS News and Information.
I know
time.
You're not going to be smoking.
No, not even the candy cigarettes. It's 8:30.
A Attention all you outdoor gear geeks. If you've been waiting for huge discounts on the best outdoor gear, then mark your calendars because Pacific Outfitters of Eureka is hosting their annual Spring Warehouse Sale this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, March 29th, 30th, and 31st. Our new spring gear, apparel, and footwear is showing up right now and we need to make room, so take advantage of these ridiculous deals this weekend. This year, our spring warehouse sale will be located in our store and not in the parking lot.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Estelle, some of the different challenges that are going on, I suppose, are predictable. Some of them aren't. When I heard about flooding on the Russian River,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the sympathy was about a maybe one teardrop. That was about all she wrote. Is there still the Eel Russian River? And I don't know if I'm confusing that along with the railroad and the interaction between the two or mm-hmm. not. What is the status right now with the diversion? PG&E still, I guess, has a piece of or mm-hmm. has. And the future either of the Eel River water continuing to feed the Russian River or if it's going to revert back into the Eel.
Well, this Friday, we're going to have the Eel Russian River Commission meeting at 10 a.m. at the Board of Supervisors, and I think that that will be very informative. So the situation right now is that the Potter Valley Project, which essentially is two dams, one the Scott Dam and then Van Arsdale Dam, both of those were involved in creation of electricity for the Potter Valley Ukiah area, originally going way back 100 years or more. What it also required was a diversion of water from the Eel into the Russian in order to create that hydrologic power, if you will. What's happened is that the PG&E is now pulling out of that. They have to go for relicensing every 25 years or something like that, and they were due for relicensing, and now they said, first of all, they really weren't interested, and they were going to auction it off to someone else, and then when they declared bankruptcy, they came back around and said, we're not interested in it at all, we want to just end it. So now the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has said, well, we're going to put it out to bid if somebody else wants to run this project.
As is?
As is. Now, see, the big deal here is that it started out, as I said, as a power generation project. It currently generates maybe about 9 megawatts at that, maybe 7 to 9 megawatts. That's nothing in today's world, and it certainly is much more of a water management project than a power generation project. So would someone buy it? All of the issues that come with management of the dams, etc., just to have 9 megawatts of power, that's pretty unclear. The inland water and power project, which is Mendocino, Sonoma, that area, Potter Valley, have shown interest, but I don't know that they could afford it.
I would think that the wine guys could ante up, because if it is mm-hmm. as critical, obviously it is, to the Russian River mm-hmm. and all the uses of the water mm-hmm. off of that, those are the guys that are at risk.
The Sonoma County Water Agency is very, very much involved in this, and they've done a lot of studies. Congressman Huffman's been doing an ad hoc committee, and there were fisheries and water flow studies done. One of the arguments is that even if you take the dam down at Scott Dam, it won't increase the water flow significantly. Now, there'll be other arguments to the opposite there, but it seems to me that what I'm hearing so far from Sonoma is that they are not so tied to the current situation that they aren't open to a different solution. So maybe partial takedown of the Scott Dam, more storage of more water, because basically if they get the water in the winter, they've got more than enough for the year round. Who would suffer in terms of water in the summertime would be the Potter Valley area. And there's a number of vineyards out there. I know Guinness McFadden, Janet Pauley, those guys. And they are concerned and have voiced that concern concerned. So we're going to be hearing from Janet Pauley actually this Friday, talking about the Inland Water and Power Project. And the other thing that we're going to be hearing from is the tribes from Humboldt County. We'll be hearing from the Wiat. We'll be hearing from our own staff here in Humboldt County in terms of what our preferences would be. And we'll be hearing from Caltrout, who kind of stepped up just recently and said that they would be interested in looking at this issue. So,
does Caltrout have money?
I don't think they have money. I think they just want to have some play in there. The big issue for fisheries folks is that the Scott Dam just does not allow passage beyond that dam. The Van Arsdale does fish passage, but then there's a whole section of a river in between the two that is the only accessible area for fish that might migrate up into the watershed. And there's probably about 12 miles of good spawning ground beyond the Scott Dam. So the concern is for these guys, can we either take down the dam so it's more accessible to those, or figure out a way to get a better fish passage. But I could tell you right now, that's a very expensive prospect. And so money is going to come into this. Who's going to fund? Even if we're to stay status quo, is there some kind of regional entity that can fund it? It's an expensive prospect. And then I hear a lot, we've talked about this in the past, why is the Russian River getting this water for free? I'll tell you why. Nobody ever pushed it. So all along, the water that goes through the hydrologic project to create the power is then passes on down into the Russian River. And guess what? It's called abandoned water. They haven't been paying for it. So is that something that will be worked out in the future? So there's a lot to be discussed. And I think the Eel Russian River Commission is a great forum for it. Eel Russian River Commission is not going to buy it, but we can be a forum for everybody to talk very bluntly, very out front. In fact, the last meeting in Lake was quite heated. Everybody was very up front of where they were going. And these meetings can be pretty exciting, actually.
Oh, so maybe we're showing up for us, what you're saying.
I think it would be good if you were interested at all to show up at the election.
Do you think it's going to be full?
I think it'll be a good show. What's the word I want to use?
Turnout?
Turnout, thank you. We have had a lot of interest. Actually, another minor detail on that, Humboldt County is now administering the Eel Russian River Commission. It had been Mendocino County. It turns out that it goes with the chairmanship, and I'm the chair of the Eel Russian River Commission.
Oh, so now we have full disclosure. All right.
It's
Madam Chair.
I'm glad to be chair at this time. I think we can make sure that Humboldt's concerns are heard loud and clear.
So does it mean all the meetings will be up here now during your term?
No. Oh. They'll still rotate between Humboldt, Mendocino, Lake, and what was the fourth one?
Those
Sonoma.
Other guys, yeah. KINS, oh, yeah. News and Information.
Just that little place called Sonoma.
It's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle. Bridgeville is getting a little bit of exposure right now with the little meeting with the Hulu fella. The CEO came from Bridgeville, which I think is just kind of way cool. So, you know, somebody local scoring points big time, particularly from a small little burg.
Mm-hmm.
Highway 36. I saw that Caltrans was going to throw some money towards that. I'm not really sure what at this point. What kind of sense do you have for what 36 is going to be in the next little bit?
Well, I don't know. I can't give you very much information about Caltrans. I can tell you what Cal Fire is doing, because this is under Governor Newsom's emergency proclamation. There were 35 wildfire mitigation projects statewide, and one of those projects is located around the perimeter of Bridgeville with the intent to minimize impacts to the town of Bridgeville from wildfire. So Talkfire now is tasked with completing the project by the end of 2019. And what's key about this particular emergency proclamation is that it lifts CEQA requirements, which is very difficult to do in most cases. Now, Cal Fire obviously will be cognizant of the fact that they don't want to trample all over.
Oh, yeah, and you're not going to throw stuff into the water that shouldn't be there. I mean, you still got the normal good neighbor stuff that's out there. But when you say that, I'm thinking it might have been an economic stimulus plan.
There's
last year with so many of the fire guys coming in, and that, you know, if you had to argue the economic impact, that would be kind of an interesting study to see. What was it, a net plus or a net minus? Don't know.
I would say, definitely it makes an impact when they're here. I mean,
with the timber.
Yeah,
I mean, certainly.
Exactly. Oh, and the timber industry for sure.
Way over, but
the RCRC, as Rich would tell you, has been very concerned about what's happening with our forests. You know, and so Bridgeville, as you know, is right out there at the edges of the county, basically, and you've got Bridgeville, you've got Blocksburg, you've got little communities along that area that could be very vulnerable to a hot forest fire, and just like we saw up in Paradise, etc. Kurt McCray, who's the unit chief for CAL FIRE in Humboldt and Del Norte, said this is the only project that got funding through this emergency in our whole unit, and there were some units of CAL FIRE that didn't get any funding.
Well,
so
I would think, you know, Trinity County deserves a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Shasta County deserves a whole lot more. I mean, that's just the way it gets played. So.
Yeah, it is. And again, I was talking with Kurt. We're going to have him on the board next Tuesday. I was talking with Kurt about the other projects that are in the works. There's one that's is going to be out in Whitethorn, for instance.
Ah, cool stuff. All righty. Well, may see you on Friday then.
Oh,
look out for the goofy guy in the back of the room.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just saw him pacing
Madam Chair, yes. See everybody tomorrow.